I titled the message this morning, Honor Your Mother. You know, normally on Mother's Day, I think what we do is we give exhortation to mothers, tell them what they ought to do and how they ought to do it. And I'm thinking, you know, is that it's Mother's Day. Let's give them a break and let's tell us how we should honor mothers. And since most everybody in here has a mother, or at least had one at one time, I think we're pretty safe that this message should apply to all of us. I found that sometimes children really enjoy going through photo albums. I don't know if your kids do that, but all of our girls, for some reason, really enjoyed getting out the family photo albums and looking through them and looking at the pictures that are there. Well, there's a story about a little boy who was doing just that early one evening. His father was home from work and was sitting in the recliner reading the newspaper, while his mother was in the kitchen busy preparing the evening meal. The little boy came across the picture of his mother and father's wedding ceremony in the photo album and said, "Daddy, what's this picture of you and Mommy here for? Why is she in a white dress and you in a black suit?" His father said, "Well, son, that's a picture taken on the day your mom and I got married." The little boy thought for a little while, and then he asked his father, "Is that when you got Mom to come and work for us?" Maybe some of you moms can relate to that. Today is Mother's Day. And if you've forgotten that until right now, it's probably too late to redeem yourself. You might as well ask that dog to move over and share his house with you for a little bit. On May 8, 1914, President Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He said it was for this, for displaying the American flag and for the public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of our country. On Mother's Day, families pay special tribute to their moms in various ways. We send greeting cards, we send flowers, we give them breakfast in bed or breakfast at McDonald's, lunch at a fine restaurant, long distance calls, and special gifts. These are just some of the ways I think that families will say thanks to their moms today. And that's as it should be, but all too often Mother's Day is simply a time when families attempt to atone for an entire year of neglect, indifference, misuse, disrespect, and lack of thoughtfulness and genuine appreciation. How typical of people, especially Americans, and how hypocritical. Most present-day philosophers, both Christian and non-Christian, would tend to agree on one point, that Western man is now living in a post-Christian era. In other words, this is no longer truly a Christian nation due to the choices we have made as a nation over the past 30 years. Our coins still say in God we trust, but certainly by the choices we have made, especially in the 60s, we're not trusting in God as a nation. We have a form of godliness, but we really deny the power of it and the reality of God in our lives. What is meant by the statement we are living in a post-Christian era? Does it mean that Christianity is dead? Of course not. That can never be. Christ's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's a kingdom that has no end. Post-Christian means that the influence of the Bible once had on our nation's social and moral behavior has diminished to a level that it's hardly recognizable today. And this applies not only to morality, but also to all areas of life, education, sexuality, political theory, law, justice, and the family. Most important, parenting. And now, under the failing influence of man-centered opinions, the church has walked away from what it knows to be true. And our subject this morning is the family, in particular, motherhood. What, therefore, are the effects of this post-Christian era on the family? It is simply this human reason or secular humanism thinks that it is set free to set perimeters for the family. They can come up with their own ideas for the home and for marriage and for child development. And this opens the door for man's speculation about man, who he is and what marriage is and ought to be, and about the right, what's right for the home and what's right for mom, dads, and children. It's all human reasoning, deciding how these things should be. By contrast, though, a Christian is one who ought to see the home, marriage, and parental responsibilities as framed within the perimeters of God's infallible and authoritative word to man, the Bible. These truths come from God's word, and they should shape our beliefs and our practices in every area of life, including the home and the family. But they also make them legitimate, we need absolutes. We need to get in the Word of God and let it guide every area of our life. Our opinions and our beliefs are legitimately Christian only to the point where they agree with the principles laid out in the Word of God. We face the deception and the threat of shifting values and attitudes that are destroying the family, especially motherhood. Perhaps nothing expresses what is happening in our society better than the old Virginia Slims commercials. You've come a long way, baby. That's true, but I'm not so sure it's the way we've come is good. In discussing the enticement the world is having on our society through what is called fulfilling employment, Rita Carver writes, "In today's world, one wonders if mother is not headed for extinction. Some of our feminist sisters have declared that as non-working mothers, we are only maids doing the job of an eight-year-old, doing a job that an eight-year-old could accomplish." That's quoted from Civilization in Crisis by Richard Fowler. Sometimes we do wonder that because motherhood is almost looked down on today in our society. Motherhood is mocked, movies are made about it, and it's all derogatory. It's like, if you're just a mother, then, you know, what is your value in society? But I want you to understand that in the Bible, the mother is highly esteemed. And to set aside only one day a year to honor mothers, I think, is a little bit hypocritical. You know, I think if you know me, you know I get really sad about the materialism of the world we live in, and it seems like it takes opportunities like, oh, it's Mother's Day, good, we can make money. And it's just an opportunity for people to make a bunch of money. I was buying cards yesterday, Mother's Day cards, and I was looking at the back trying to figure out how much they are. There's a bunch of codes there. And I saw a big number, and I thought, I asked the lady next to me, is this how much this card costs? She went, isn't it a shame? I was like, $5? For a card? I mean, come on. Well, you know, but you gotta buy one, right? You're trapped. I mean, you just have to do it. You know? And I think it's sad. But folks, listen, mothers are to be honored not one day a year. Mothers are to be honored every day of the year. And the subject of honoring mothers is one of great importance. Both the Old and the New Testament scriptures command us to honor our mothers. Exodus 20, verse 12, the Lord said in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And look with me there at Ephesians chapter 6. Familiar scriptures. This is the first scriptures parents teach their kids. As soon as your kid can learn the scripture, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's right. That's why. It's just the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The scriptures are clear, folks. We're to honor our mothers. But what does that mean? What does it mean to honor your mother? Does that mean you get her a card on Mother's Day? That's showing you honor. You get her a present. You send her flowers. You call her. As a noun, honor appropriates our idea of esteem, respect, high regard, or good reputation. To honor, folks, is to recognize the value of someone and act accordingly. Recognize value and then act accordingly. The term honor is one that's not used too often today in our everyday speech. And I think it's therefore necessary for us to look at what is meant by honor when the Bible uses this term. Let me give you a couple things that I think we can see about honor from these verses here that in Exodus and in Ephesians. Number one, giving honor is preferential. In other words, when we honor someone, we distinguish them above someone else. Honoring someone sets them above other people. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. So honor is to set someone above other people. Honoring parents means to think highly of them, in contrast to esteeming them lightly. In 1 Samuel 2:30, it says, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your fathers would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So to lightly esteem someone is not to honor them. So we see that giving honor is preferential. Secondly, honor is positional. When people are honored in the Bible, they're honored largely because of the position they hold. Those whom we are commanded to honor in the Bible, most, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sovereign God of the universe. We're to honor God. We're to honor kings, rulers, elders, masters are to be given honor. Parents are to be honored for their position in the family. Thus, honor has to do with position, power, and dignity that a person has beyond others. Thirdly, giving honor is practical. Honoring others requires more than lip service. Isaiah 29:13, God says, Therefore the Lord said, Inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. God says, though they talk about honor, but they don't live it out. If we really honor somebody, we demonstrate that by our life. The honor which God requires of man is an honor which translates into very practical terms, whether it be directed Godward or manward. Also, honor is public. The act of honoring mothers begins with the attitude of respect for them. Leviticus 19:3 says, Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Now, the outflow of the attitude of reverence is the action of honoring, an action which is generally public. Thus, both husband and children are exhorted to give the godly woman praise in a public place. In other words, the Bible says if you honor somebody, listen, let other people know that they're honored. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. I want you to see here that honor is to be public. If you honor someone and you let others know that you honor them, that you esteem them greatly above others. Proverbs 31 verse 28 says, Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And here is the idea of the husband sitting in the gates, and as he's in the gates, the gates is the place of the political office. They're sitting there, and he is praising his wife. He is giving her honor as he talks about his wife in public. And men, husbands, listen, we're not to bring our wives down today. Again, it's commonplace to make fun of, to mock, to bring down motherhood. We need to, as Christians of all people, to uphold it. To uphold the standards of the Word of God, but to do it in practice, to uphold the mothers. The evidences of a dishonorable child were public, because a woman was to be honored in public. When a child was behaved in a certain way publicly, it dishonored the mother. And when this was persistently and willfully done, the rebellious child was to be disciplined in a public ceremony. Look with me at Deuteronomy 21. I just want you to see the severity of this in the Word of God. A disobedient child, a rebellious child. We have problems today in our society. Now, if we instituted this law, we wouldn't have a lot of disrespectful, rebellious children. There'd be just a lot of rock piles. Deuteronomy 21:18 says, If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and then when they have chastened him will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So shall you put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Parents, think about it. You're having problems with your teenager. You just can't do a thing with him. Can you imagine taking him to the elders of the city? Our son's rebellious, they're stubborn, we can't do a thing with him, kill him. Can you imagine? Why would they do so? I mean, no parent, what parent could do that? Here's the reason, that all Israel may hear and fear. God wanted to know that when there's rebellion in society, it will destroy the whole of society. It needed to be dealt with. This should show us how strongly God views children honoring their parents. When there was a dishonoring, they were put to death. Now, the central passage in honoring parents in the Old Testament is found in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, 21. Honor your mother, it says, your father and your mother. And Paul repeats the same command in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this right, honor your father and mother. Now, I want to make some observations about these commandments to honor our mother that we can see from these texts. First of all, the commands are given to children. See that? specifying their obligation toward their parents. The term father and mother are synonymous with parents. Thus, we have spelled out here the obligation of children to honor their parents. All right? So it's for children. Secondly, there are no indications here as to the age of the children who are to honor their parents. Okay? Is anybody in here not a child? You're all children, right? Aren't your children or your parents? All right? So it fits all of us. We would tend to think of this command given to young children regarding their obligation to their parents, but this is not so. The Greek word used here for children in Ephesians 6:1 is technon, and it means offspring. I am the technon of my mother even though I'm 45 years old. I'm her offspring. I'm her child. Other passages will apply this general command to specific age groups, but the command is deliberately broad in scope. All right? I think that a person comes out from under the command to obey. All right, children, I'll say, it says children obey your parents. So when do we stop having to obey our parents? Is this going forever? I think that a person comes out from under the command to obey when they leave home and establish their own home. All right? The Bible talks about when you're married, you leave your father and mother, you cleave to your wife, you become a separate entity there, a new household. All right? So that, I think the obligation to obey breaks there, but listen very carefully. The command to honor is never abrogating. We are always to honor our parents. Thirdly, I see here, there's no particular action required here. It says children are not told to do anything in particular to honor their parents. I think we would assume, and rightly so, that different actions are going to be required at different times of different people. We must therefore look elsewhere in Scripture to determine how we're to honor our parents at any given point in time. The Old Testament Scriptures are full of many of the details as to what constitutes honor and what constitutes dishonor with respect to parents. When parents are cursed, the Bible says they're dishonored. Now, let me read you Proverbs 20:20. It says, whoever curses his father or mother, teens, are you all listening? His lamp will be put out in deep darkness. All right, now the Hebrew word for curse here is kalal, and it means to make light. To make light. The Greek word that Jesus used when he talks about this in the New Testament is kakalagio, and it means to revile, to curse. It means to speak evil of. This Greek word is only used four times in the New Testament. It's translated curse twice, and it's translated speak evil of twice. To speak evil of a parent is to dishonor them. Speaking evil, well, that's a broad scope there, folks. We think of cursing, we think of, you know, expletives that we're saying to our parents, but to speak evil of them. In the Old Testament, a person who cursed his parents spoke evil of them. They committed a capital offense. It says here, to have your lamp put out. To have your lamp snuffed out was a picturesque way of referring to death. Teens, you might want to meditate on that. Have your lamp put out. All right? Again, this just shows the severity. God wants us to honor our parents. And this is disappearing from our society, folks. I hope I don't have to tell you that. We don't honor age at all anymore. And I think it's a shame. And I think we need to hear more about honoring age, about respect. No one knows to stand up when an elderly person enters the room. No one opens doors. No one lets elderly people go in the front of the line. We don't understand what it means to respect age. But the Bible teaches that we should. But we've gotten to the point now when you get old, you can't, you're not so functional, we need to put you away, put you out of your misery, so to speak. So a child dishonors his parents by speaking evil of them. They also dishonor them by the lifestyle they live, if it's contrary to what the parents teach and if it's contrary to society. And that includes disobedience, stubbornness, rebellious, drunkenness, gluttony, robbery. The Bible lists a whole slew of things in which we can dishonor our parents. Another thing I want you to see here in these commands are accompanied with a promise. God is very serious about children obeying and honoring their parents. So serious he gave a vital command in the Old Testament with a special promise. In the context of the Old Testament in which it was given, the promise was first of all national, and it applied God's blessings on the nation so they could remain in the land under the care of God. It illustrates the fact that when there's a breakdown in the home, there's also a breakdown in society as a whole. And folks, you know, after this shooting in Columbine High School, everybody wants answers. What are the answers? What are the answers? Get rid of all the guns. Well, yeah, then the kids will take baseball bats to school or knives. Listen, the problem, folks, is the heart. That's the problem. And my question is, where are the parents? You say, well, you can't really blame the parents. Listen, when the cops walk into the room and they see shotgun barrels and all kinds of stuff, you know, the parents, maybe they provided everything. You see the homes? Materially, these kids had everything. But supervision and love, maybe. And I don't know. I'm not there, so I don't know how these parents treated their kids. But folks, we as parents have to take responsibility for the kids that are in our home. We have to answer for it. These commands are accompanied with a promise. And the promise is for those who obey their parents is they're going to enjoy a long and prosperous life. It's a general principle that obedience fosters discipline, which in turn brings stability and longevity in one's life. As an Israelite persistently disobeyed his parents, he was not privileged to enjoy a long, stable life in the land. They were put to death. So the promise is given to Israel in the Old Covenant. The principle still holds to us today, and it's repeated in Ephesians. It's a commandment that has a promise. You want to live a long, prosperous life? Obey and honor. Obey to the point where you move out, then honor forever your parents. You know, our Lord teaching on honoring your parents is fairly extensive. The Lord Jesus Christ had much to say about it. And I think a passage that provides us with a great amount of insight into the command as God intended it is found in Matthew 15. Turn with me to Matthew 15. I want you to see what the Lord is saying here. Very important. Because it teaches us in this passage exactly what honor means. An aspect of it. Matthew 15 verse 1 says, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they did not wash their hands when they ate bread. And he said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. We already looked at those two commands. Jesus is reiterating them. Watch verse 5. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Here we see very clearly this commandment is to adult children. The dishonoring their parents was they weren't caring for them financially. Their parents had a need and they were saying, Mom, Dad, man, I would love to help you out, but you know what? I just dedicated this money to God. You know, it was a convenient way to be a hypocrite. I mean, we know that the Lord said, you know, you got to esteem God, you got to honor God above your parents. So they're saying, this money's set apart for God. And Jesus said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Instead of caring, honoring your parents, and here again, he connects caring for them with honoring them, financially providing for them, meeting their needs. These Pharisees were so hypocritical. They were teaching, listen, put that money aside and say it's korban, it's devoted, you know, for certain religious purposes, and therefore you can get out from literally honoring your obligations. Then later on you could decide, oh, that money is not really korban, and you could go spend it for what you want. They're being hypocrites. But I think the importance we need to see here is the Lord is very clearly saying an aspect of honor is financially caring for should that time come. True religion, folks, doesn't hurt the helpless. It helps them. In James 1:27, it says, pure religion, undefiled before God and man is this, to visit the fatherless in their affliction and to help out the widows. Those who, and a widow in the Bible is not someone just whose husband died, it's a woman who has no one to care for her. You know, Paul also applies this principle of honoring parents to adult believers who are to assume the responsibility for caring for their needy family. In 1 Timothy 5:3, he says, honor widows who are really widows, widows indeed. In other words, if there's a woman and she has no one to care for her, first of all, the responsibility falls on the family. But if the family can't do it, the responsibility falls on the church. But the sad thing today, I see the church preying off widows instead of helping them. I was part of a church that most of its finances came from the widows. They would borrow from their accounts to build buildings. I thought, how dishonoring can this be to God? To take from widows their money so we can build a big building and say, look what we have. I'd rather meet in a daycare center for the rest of our existence than to dishonor God by going against what He has taught in the Word of God. In 1 Timothy 5:8 it says, if anyone does not provide for his own and especially those of his own house. He has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever. Honoring your parents is caring for them when they need it. And if you fail to do that, he says, you have denied the faith. You have denied the faith. Failure to honor parents by caring for them is a serious offense. In the Old Testament, it was a capital offense. In the New Testament, it's a denial of the faith, making one worse than an unbeliever. Thus, Christianity doesn't abolish Old Testament obligation to honor parents. It ratified it, ratifies and further clarifies it. Look with me at John 19. And this, to me, is just gives you an indication of the heart of the Lord in this idea of honoring parents. John 19, Jesus is on the cross. In here in John's Gospel, we find one of the last acts of our Lord upon the cross. And in this last act, he was literally fulfilling his obligation to honor his mother. Folks, would you think with me for a moment about this? I don't know if you've ever reviewed the medical aspects of crucifixion, but it was a horrible, horrifying death. And the nails were driven through the wrists, excruciating pain. In order to breathe, you would have to push yourself up on the cross to suck in the air. I mean, his back's ripped open. He's pushing against this wooden cross, tearing his back up further, pushing against the nails that are in his feet to try to grasp air. And they would continually writhe up and down until they could do it no more and they would die of suffocation. The Lord is on the cross being crucified. And in the crucifixion, he looks out and he says, John, take care of my mother. Take care of my mother. Read it with me, John 19:26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. This last act on the cross was to care for his mother. Listen, Joseph had apparently died. Jesus was the oldest son, and it was his obligation to care for his mother. And obviously, he didn't want to leave that to the unbelievers in his family. So he asked John, John, I want you to take care of my mother. Folks, I think if we get the picture of crucifixion, we could understand how much Jesus cared about the obligation to honor his mother. In one of his last earthly acts, he appointed John to carry out his earthly obligations. In the final act, Jesus honors his mother. As we conclude this morning, I want to give you several governing principles which I believe are biblical and relevant to honoring parents. And these principles, I think, will give us guidance towards forming what it means in our lives to honor our parents. Number one, if children must give honor to their mothers, then mothering must be an honorable occupation. One should hardly have to make such a statement today, but in today's world, it's necessary to do so. The fact that women line up at abortion clinics in this country and in various parts of the world suggests that bearing and raising children is viewed as something less than a blessing. And this rejects the clear teaching of the Bible, such as found in Psalm 127. And those who would leave the home and seek fulfillment in the workplace in order to gain some kind of dignity or some kind of respect have turned from the truth of God. Let those who would seek to avoid parenting be reminded that God's Word said mothering is a blessing. Listen, don't let society tell us, push their beliefs on us that it's meaningless to be a mother? I mean, that child is being the most influenced by the mother in that home. And that's why whenever they're interviewing anybody on TV, what do they always say? Hi, Mom. It's football players. Hi, Mom. They ever say, hi, Dad? I never hear them say, hi, Dad. Why? Where's the dad? The dad doesn't get any recognition. The mother deserves it. She's probably the one who poured her life into that child to turn him out. Secondly, honoring parents takes different forms to different people at different circumstances. What honoring is to one person might be different to another person depending on their part in life and where they are and where their parents are. The Old and New Testament provide us with many positive and negative applications of what it means for a child to honor his parents is to obey them. For an older child to honor his parents is to be obedient to God. The child whose parents are dependent on him, to honor him is by providing for them. It's very important for us to realize, folks, that honoring parents takes different forms at different times. This means that honoring parents is not some token gesture, some token act. It means that we need to pray about, we need to be mindful of the condition that our parents are in and how it is that we best honor them at that point in time in their lives. Thirdly, and please understand this, we honor God when we honor our parents. You know, how hypocritical it is for some of us to try to live, to honor God if we're not honoring our parents. See, not only do we honor our parents when we honor God, but we also honor God when we truly honor our parents. There are two primary reasons why this is true. First, we honor God because we're obeying His command to honor parents. Honoring our parents, when it's an act of obedience to God's Word, is an honor to God. That's where we're fulfilling two commandments here as we do that. We're honoring God and we're honoring our parents. Well, let me ask you this. What if a parent is not worthy of honor? I mean, I know some children whose parents seem to have done their best to ruin their kids' lives. And I know people who have been physically, emotionally, or sexually abused, and they're going to have to deal with the effects of that for their entire life. How can such a child honor their parents? The answer to this question is found in the way which honoring parents honors God. Folks, listen. When we honor our parents, we acknowledge that they have been ordained by God to be our parents and to receive honor. Period. Because they're our parents. Honoring parents who are not worthy of honor can only be done as one recognizes that God has appointed them to be our parents. And thus they are to be honored for their God-given position as parent, not for their performance as a parent. It's a matter of their position. They are a parent. They're to be honored because they're a parent. And when a child honors an unworthy, unkind parent, and does so because he or she recognizes that God has appointed him to this task, they are bringing glory to God. They are submitting themselves to the sovereign hand of God, and because of that, they bring glory to God. Listen, we know that God works all things together for good to those who love Him. Honoring an unworthy parent opens the door for one to see the good hand of God in giving a poor parent. It's often the weaknesses of the parent in such a case that brings about corresponding strengths in the children. You know, I know some kids who have had a terrible, terrible home life, and they are some of the finest human beings I've ever met because their life was forged and strengthened through the adversity that they went through. I know a girl who was put on a shelf in a closet and the door shut and told we didn't love you as a child and put outside the house and literally sat on the porch and cried because her parents said, we don't love you, go sit outside for a while. And then sexually abused and yet turned out to be one of the most well-balanced, God-honoring individuals I've ever known in my life. Because they turned their life over to God, trusting in Him. And you know, folks, it's difficult. It's even more difficult maybe in our society to honor parents because of the rapid increase in divorce. And children are often called upon to honor one parent and despise another because the parents have a battle between one another. And you know, the kids feel, I got to honor this one, I got to honor this. You know, listen, we're to honor parents. A parent is a parent. They're to be honored because of their position, not because of how they act. Lastly, honoring parents is important and potentially so costly that it's something we need to plan to do in advance. Honoring parents will require much more than an occasional Hallmark card. As expensive as that may be today. If honoring parents involves caring for them in their old age, this is a costly matter and one which we need to be thinking about and preparing for now. You know, Kathy and I were in Pennsylvania last week visiting her parents, and she tries to get up and see them more often now because they keep getting older. And I was thinking, you know, if something happens to one of these, then, you know, hopefully we can get the other one to come live with us. Now, she's got 9 brothers and sisters, but I don't guess there's going to be a lot of battle about who gets them. I mean, that's my guess. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, I personally would consider it an honor to have her come live with us or him come live with us so we could care for them. I mean, I highly respect her parents, and I respect them because they gave me her. And so I've learned to honor them, and we started out very rough in that category because I was quite a punk when I became Christian and first started dating Kathy. But over the years, we have been able to demonstrate that we do care about them and honor them. So I think it's something we all need to be thinking about. We need to be preparing to honor our parents through financially caring for them if they can't care for themselves. Folks, I guess what I want to say here is honoring our mothers is not something to be done once a year. It's something we need to do every day throughout our lives. And it's something that God puts a premium on, folks. Listen, if you want to live in a way that honors God, you've got to honor your parents. You've got to honor your mother. And that is not a once a year thing. That is a day-by-day thing lived in a way that we bring them honor, that we esteem them very highly. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you fulfilling the command in your life to honor your mother? Keep in mind the words of Jesus who said this. If you love me, keep my command. Let's pray.